Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and you are now with the Mother and Daughter Bonding Roundtable. And what a great morning it is. Of course, it's a challenging morning. You probably can tell in my voice today. The way things are happening here at the studio. But that's the way it is. You know, we have to just keep it moving. Today we are having sort of a recap of some things that we've done in the past, and so I'm asking you to bear with me. I thank you for joining this morning. First, let's just give God the honor and the praise. Father God, we just thank you this morning. I thank you for working out all the things that are happening here this morning with the switchboard. Father God, I thank you for every mother and daughter that's listening, every father and son that is listening. Father God, we know that you love us, and we know that you have given us the victory over everything we put our hands on. As Christians, we are your children, and nothing shall prevail over us. But Father God, this morning, I just thank you so very much for the opportunity to get up and to be used by the Holy Spirit to connect to mothers and daughters around the world. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it's interesting when I don't have the switchboard and I can't see. Praise the Lord. There it is. It popped up. My God, thank you. What a difference prayer makes. I've been struggling with this switchboard for about 40 minutes, and nothing would happen. So I said, okay, we're just going to call in, and as my friend says, keep it moving. And as I finished the prayer and opened my eyes, the switchboard was there. God is good. Thank you, Lord. Well, today we are going to continue. We was not here last week, and I think that I don't want to give credit to the enemy, but I can tell you one thing. There's a lot of things going on. So that means that if I keep doing what I'm doing, obviously I'm doing something right, because the enemy just really don't want some of these things to come out. It's like, nah, you're not going to do it. But we always come across and prevail. So thank you for being patient, and thank you for signing on this morning and being a part of the Mother and Daughter Bonding Roundtable. Some exciting things are happening with us. Again, for the people that just coming on, I'm Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and I'm your host for the Mother and Daughter Bonding Roundtable. This morning we are going to do something, I think, just a little bit different, and we'll see how it works out. You know, we're going to have fun regardless to what happens. Again, thanks to all the listeners. You know, I could not do it without you. It would be something to get on this radio program on Saturday mornings and not see you out there. Yeah, I mean, I just want you to know from the bottom of my heart that when I look out and I see your numbers on the switchboard and know that you're on the internet, that helps me deal with all the things that come up on Saturday morning when you're trying to get open, you know, trying to schedule the show and get everything up and running, because some things you cannot do to Saturday morning. So with that being said, I know when I get on and I see you there and I'm thinking, wow, it is worth it, thank God, because then I feel so good on the inside. I have that energy. It's just like, Lord, we're not doing this in vain. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For the ones that are there, and it's, you know, call a friend, text your friends, and tell them to join you this morning on the Mother and Daughter Bonding Roundtable here at Blog Talk Radio. They can call in at 347-539-5078, and if they decide they want to join in on the conversation, you can click 1. Or you can just simply listen. What I've learned is that we have a lot of people that's online. They're listening, they're taking notes, and then they text me later and say, you know what, I've learned so much. You touched me. You hit it right on the money. This is what I needed to hear for today, or one of the co-hosts or guests or whoever's talking, you know, I got something. They spoke directly to me. So the mixture that we have here, it's just not all about me. The Holy Spirit used me, but he also will use you. So when something come up in your spirit, you know, and says, you know, wow, I should say this, then say it. Click one. You know, we have the co-host, we have the guest, simply to keep it interesting, because that way we know that it's a conversation. I can't have a conversation by myself. So I'm saying to all the listening audience out there, you know, when that something comes up in your stomach and it says, wow, I should say this, you better believe there's somebody out there that God has that needs to hear exactly what that is. It may not seem like a lot to you, but it could be the one word that can change someone's life. You know, one word can change your life. You don't have to do a complete sentence. You don't have to elaborate and philosophize and be all technical and scientific. And one word, if it's said from your heart, that one word that comes up in the pit of your belly can change someone's life. And that's the reason we're here. When you dial the number because you wanted to listen, to get the food for yourself so you could eat. But, you know, we always can do what? Give out. Give out. Give some food to someone else. And our food comes through our words. So if it comes up, say it. And I'm obviously saying this to someone. You know, I know it's not the easiest thing to speak on the radio. But don't think about it like that. Just think about us. I tell people, just imagine that we're sitting around the table and the round table, and we are just basically having a conversation, and you're drinking your tea, I'm drinking my coffee, somebody's having juice, and just sitting talking. That's all you got to imagine in your mind. And if you're sitting around the table, you just join the conversation. That's all we're doing is having a conversation. And the topic just happened to be about our mothers and our daughters, how we feel, the experiences that we've had, experience that you know of your girlfriends, co-workers, you know, those are the things that you share. And when you share those stories and how they made it through those situations or how they're still going through those situations, even if you're talking about a situation that's still active right now, there's someone out there going through that same situation. Just the fact that they know someone else is going through that can help them, because a lot of times when you're going through your particular situation, you think no one else in the world has ever gone through that. You think it's all about you. Lord, why am I going through? And then when you discover, other people have gone through that. Some people are going through it now. It sort of lessens the pressure and allow you to relax just a little bit. And once you relax a little bit, you sometimes have the ability to think better or to see some things that the Lord is showing you. But if we get so uptight, we can't see those things, and it makes it very difficult to or make your process a little longer. All right, and with that being said, look for some new clicks this morning. Want to make a couple of announcements. Let's see, I want to thank the partners. We have partners that are helping us when we're doing the show and participating in so many different ways. There are things that's going on. We have announcements. Of course, I am not particularly going with the calendar this morning, but I will talk off the top of my head, and, you know, I'm pretty good at remembering most of the things that we do. With the partners, I say thank you. Let's say I'd like for everybody to go and visit. You can go to our website at www.M as in mother, D as in daughter, B as in bonding, N as in network.org. go there, look at some of the things that are coming up on the website, some of the events. And if you want to call me, you can call me at 786-462-6470. That's 786-462-6470. If I don't answer, just leave a message, and I will get back to you because that message will come to me. Okay? In the past, since January, we've been talking about hidden secrets, and that's kind of been our platform for this year because it's so broad, you know, family secrets. So we're kind of dancing around that. We have the core, and we're doing different topics around that, but it all comes right back to that. So we are talk about some things today that will kind of bounce off of it. I don't know what the Lord is going to lead us to do here, but it will happen. The ambassadors, thank you so very much. Doing a great job. There are things that are happening with the ambassadors. They did a wonderful job with the Mother and Daughter Appreciation around May the 5th. That was a great turnout, a great opportunity. The Lord showed up. We had a great time. And now we are headed to our next event. The next event is going to be the Mother and Daughter Crusade, which is September the 8th. It is all day. It is at the church by the sea in Fort Lauderdale. You don't want to miss this. It's going to be exciting. They're hosting it, and the word is out. People are interested. They are coming. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful event. If you have praise dance teams and you want them to participate, you might want to give us a call at the number I just gave you, 786-462-6470, and let us know about your praise team, or if you have groups that you want to bring to the crusade, let us know. You can go on our website, www.mdbn.org, and it will tell you how to get your tickets to the event. Again, we're at 347-539-5078, and you can click 1 when you want to talk to us. All right, now let's see what we got on the switchboard here. Our guest today, and I'm having to go back and forth. Let's see. I think it's interesting this morning because then it's a little different than the norm. Let's see. Bear with me. We have Maria with us today. Maria is with Stepping. I want to make sure I get that stylistic stepping team. She's the vice president, and she's the mother of two adult children. I think it's a daughter and a son. So let's see if I can find Charlene here. The number that I have is, right here. Here we go. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Me, Maria. How you doing?
I'm blessed, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's an exciting day here.
It is. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. I hope the audience can.
Perfect.
I was trying to read my emails. Cynthia sent me your information, and sometimes when I'm going back into the text to look at it and trying to talk. But I know the audience is like, what is wrong with her this morning? You know, I'm going back and forth because, you know, you have your documents and then nothing pops up. So I'm in that mode today. So we're just going to let the Lord lead and guide us. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Well, like you said, my name is Maria Cephas. Good morning to everyone. I am the VP and instructor of Stylistic Steppers. I'm also a certified professional life coach. My company with the life coach is My Destiny Life Coach Services. As far as the stepping goes, it's an R&B form of ballroom dancing. We like to call it urban ballroom, but it's a the former ballroom dancing with a soulful flair. It's a lot of fun.
Excuse me 1 second. We can't hear you. There's a loud sound that's coming out.
Okay. How's that?
Okay, that's much better. You might want to just look over what you do. Yes, because it was so loud we couldn't hear you.
Oh, okay, it was probably my earpiece, but just trying to be hands-free over here, just in case I needed to take some notes too. But as I was saying, stepping is a lifestyle. It is a dance that has swept the nation. Most people can relate to R. Kelly's video, Step in the Name of Love, when the people are dancing in all white on the boat. It's a hand dance. It's a couples dance. It is a beautiful, beautiful dance. And through that is also, it brings out more than just the dance. It teaches ladies how to be a little bit more submissive because you have to listen to your lead, which is normally a male, to guide you through your dance. But it just feels so great once you learn how to do it. And like I said, we travel all across the country doing this dance, as well as we teach here in South Florida. We have a location at the Betty T. Ferguson Center. We teach there on Thursdays. Wednesdays downtown Hollywood, and Mondays we just started that at the YMCA on 14th Terrace. But all that information is on my website at stylisticsteppers.com. But it's fun. It's fun, and I had the pleasure of having Dr. Bessie at one of my Ladies' Day events, which was, she did a phenomenal job. It was a beautiful day. It was a beautiful event, and I can't wait to do bigger things with you. So I want to thank you again for that, and the ladies are still talking about it.
I had a great time. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. I got there a little late, so I didn't get to step, but, you know, let me just tap off my shoulder. I've been known to step well. That's one of the things that I would talk to God about. I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, I love to dance, and, you know, how does that fit? And stepping is one of my main things that I like to do, especially when you got a good stepping partner. That's beautiful. It is art in action. Because there's so much concentration in there, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your daughter and your relationship with your daughter and your relationship with your mother. We are mothers and daughters. We come together to talk on Saturday mornings about our relationships. You know, today we're talking basically a little bit about, I'm swinging it because I can't pull up my documents that was written. So I'm waiting to see. I had problems with my computers, everybody, this past week or so, and then had to reboot and trying to save documents. And so some of my documents did not get back in their rightful place. And so with that struggle, I said, okay, you know what you do? You keep going. Because one thing I can do, I can talk. So I'm going to do something different today. I'm going to open it up, and we're all going to talk a little bit about the history of our mother and daughter relationship until I can get some of these things going. So tell me a little bit about your relationship with your mother, how it was when you were growing up, and then how does that fit in with your relationship with your daughter at this point in time?
Okay, I have to say I was very blessed, and I still am very blessed to have the mother that I have. I'm the youngest of five. I have two other sisters and two other brothers, but I was the baby. When my mother had my oldest sister, she was real strict on her. We were raised a Catholic family, so she was very strict, and my oldest sister wound up getting pregnant at 16. My younger sister and I, well, not younger, but my other sister and I, and my two brothers wind up going to boarding school, which was a blessing also, which I saw it that way. My sister didn't, but I did. But at any rate, when she got down to me, she had it down to a science. My middle sister wound up getting lupus at 16, so my mother babied her. So she was real tight, real strict with the first one, babied the second one, and then when she got it down to me, she had it down to a science. So she kind of gave me a lot of freedom to express myself and be creative and things like that, which helped me today. Now, with my daughter, again, a big blessing. I wound up having her while I was in college, and I was 19. So we kind of grew up together along with my son, because I had him 18 months later. And the relationship that her and I share is we speak every day. She's a teacher in Atlanta. She's pretty successful. You know, she's a God-fearing woman, and I'm so proud. And like I said, everyone, as she was growing up, people kept saying, oh, she's going to change. You think she's a good girl now. She's going to change. Wait till she gets to be a teenager. She's going to, her head's going to spin around, and you guys are going to lose it. I'm so thankful that that didn't happen. We share everything. We're more, but she still knows that I'm her mother. You know, we still have that respect that she knows where lines are. And I have the respect for her, too, that I know where the lines not to cross as her mother and friend. I know that's a really, really touchy subject when it comes to a mother-friend relationship, because sometimes we can be too much of a friend and not enough of a mother, or vice versa. And I'm thankful that I found that balance, and she helped me to find that balance as well. So I'm pretty blessed. And she would have been on the call this morning. She was here last week to be on the call. She was here visiting for Father's Day for my son. And unfortunately, you know, that didn't happen. But today she's traveling, and so she wasn't able to make it on the call. But hopefully we'll be invited back again, and we can have her on the show as well.
Yeah, of course, of course. You know, I like this part when you're talking about, you know, that thin line between being a mother and being a friend. Now, that's constantly one of the things that is brought up to me when I'm talking to a mother, especially if I can just be sitting somewhere having something to eat, and people will, you know, say, well, what is it that you do? Well, the minute you say that, when I say I'm a Christian clinical psychologist, and I specialize in mother and daughter relationship, well, you know, it opens up a dialogue. And me, myself, I love it, because I love to talk. So, you know, and then I get information. I'm there to help someone. And sometimes I'm there eating at that particular place because God has placed me there for an assignment. And I had learned that this is a part of who I am and why I'm there. But that's one of the main things that the mother will come up with when they have an adult daughter, or even when they have teenagers, because they say, you know, how can I be her friend and be her mother? Because when you have the young girls, they feel that if I'm not their friend, then I'm going to lose them, because they're saying, well, you're not like my friend's mother. They get along and they act like friends. And I'm saying, you know, yes, you can be friendly. See, that's the difference. You can be friendly. You can have certain rules, but they need to know where the line is drawn. And as long as you got that clear, you know, we're friendly, but I'm still the mother. I still have to make decisions that you won't like sometimes. And you have to do, like you say, a lot of conversations. You have to talk. And as long as you keep the conversations going. Now, I heard something that you were talking about. People say, oh, you're going to lose her. You know, you think she's good now. You're going to lose her. And then you wonder, where did they get that from? Is that their own personal experience and they're trying to dump that on you? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, exactly. I think it's a stereotype, I think.
Yeah, go ahead. What do you say?
I apologize. I said, I think it's a stereotype. I think that it has happened in so many mother-daughter relationships. And then because we turn at teenagers, we start, as we say, smelling ourselves, so to speak. We think we're grown, and, you know, we think we know everything as teenagers. So therefore, I think that's what happens in the dynamics of the relationship. You know, they're like, okay, now I'm grown. But you're only a teenager, so it's hard to tell them things. That's where I think it comes from.
Well, you know, it comes back, too, from the way they were raised. I tell people, you can't, the moment the doctor puts that baby in your arm, that's the process. The process started in your belly, but that physical out of the womb process, you've got whatever you say, you got to be careful with your words and constantly your actions. Your words and your actions have to match, because any deviation from that, kids are watching you. They're watching you, and they're saying, she's saying this, but she's doing this. So then you wonder why the children are confused. You know, that's what I was saying to someone yesterday. Whatever you say, whatever you do, they have to match because they get very confused. So when you have the teenager and everybody's wondering, well, why is the young lady or the young man has changed and why they're doing things different? Because they're watching you. I was blessed, you know, with my daughter and our relationship because we did a lot of talking. If she said, Mama, I'll be back at 11, I could count on that. I didn't have to worry about it. I didn't have to call her. She always did. We talk about it. If she was 5 minutes late, she would call and say, Mama, I'm up the road. I'm coming. You know, it was always that responsibility, and I was blessed that way. So I had parents say to me, what in the world? How? I mean, you know, you're so blessed. Angie just does this and Angie does that. No, because, see, I didn't start off with Angie at 10 trying to get her to do that. I started off with Angie when she was little. And the rules and regulations were set and, the, you know, the game plan. She knew. And last week I was talking to someone. I told him, I said, you know, my mother had it down to the fine art that she could just look at you. She didn't have to open her mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar? You may not be old enough to be familiar with
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Oh, definitely, I know.
Yeah. She would look at me, and I'm telling you, I was telling someone, I said, you know, I would be in the middle of saying something, you know, because, yeah, of course, you know, I love to talk. And, you know, God gives me the vehicles because that's the way he designed me. I don't, you know, one time I used to worry about that, but I don't worry about it anymore because that's my gift. That's my talent. That's what I do, and that's what he designed me to do. But as a child, I'm an only child. So a lot of things in the family that happened, the minute I got with a crowd of people, I decided I wanted to discuss some things. And my mother would look at me, and I'm in the middle of my, you know, trying to get my stuff out, telling my story, and I'm trying to tell a story, and I'm looking at her because I knew I had crossed over the line. But then I was trying to save my own face, so I'm trying to taper it off and saying something because I knew when I got home my mother was going to spank me because there were certain things you just didn't say, you know, just out there running your mouth. So, but I tried to do it a little different, and I guess I'm saying all that to say this. It's about communication. It's about how you start off the process with your child as to what you're going to end up with. So, and it's a good thing that you and your daughter to this day, but see, I heard you say it came from your mother, but the thing that came to my mind when you were saying that your mother had it down to a fine art, I got tickled because I said to myself, you know, when you can imagine, I talked to some parents, I said, boy, by the time you had that last one, you're so tired, you just say, whatever, Lord.
Yeah, yeah. Let them do what they got to do, yeah.
Lord, just help me, whatever. You know, I'm trying to get this thing right, just whatever. So, but anyway, tell us a little bit about your son, because we're not anti-son either, because we have some mothers on here that have all sons. And we know that the same process, you know, what we talk about with mothers and daughters, we also know that those same techniques are applied to our sons.
You know, it's funny with a son, but I have to say something, go back to my mother real quick. When it came down, my mother was not the type of woman. She was at a certain level. She was in a political, she was in the public eye. So as her children, we had our place, and we knew our place. And like you said, if we came out of line, you got the look. But she was not the type of mother that she would jump on her bed and she would, you know, she was loving and we knew she loved us. That wasn't the thing. But she wasn't the most, she didn't show it in a way that we do now or like I do now. So I didn't realize that I had took that trait and it passed and was using that until one of my girlfriends one day, because my daughter jumped on my bed and I said, get off of my bed. You know, I felt she was being clingy, and I was like, get off of me. You know, every time she did that, I was like, get, you know, I would shake her off. One of my girlfriends said, did you realize what you just did? And it was that moment that I didn't realize it until that moment that I was doing that. And it switched, you know, I switched, made a switch and made a conscious decision to not do that and to be better, and that also helped. So now she can come in, of course, lay on my bed, do whatever she wants to do, jump up and down on my bed. And we're tight now. We hold hands. We, you know, we hug. And it's funny because I'm thankful, I'm blessed that people will see us and they're like, oh, that's your sister? And I'm like, no, that's my daughter, you know. And sometimes we'll be somewhere either in Atlanta or wherever we're traveling, and we'll hold hands and we'll shake our hands off and be like, okay, we don't want people to think that, you know. You know, and it's funny, you know, and I'm like, look at that. Look how we're acting because we're worried about what the public is going to say, not realizing that we're mother and daughter as opposed to girlfriends, you know.
Right.
That, I just had to put that out there. But with my son, I look at them and I keep saying, were they raised in the same house by the same person, you know, because they're so totally different. With my daughter, I realized that when I was even carrying her, I was happy. I was, you know, just all over the place, and she's like that today. Even when she was born, didn't cry. You didn't know what she was, you know, wet or whatever, because she was always happy. With my son, I was depressed when I carried him, and he came out, and he's very sensitive. Even as a 25-year-old man, he's still a sensitive young man, but he's all man. Let me say that. But he's, you know, but I realized the difference just in carrying them, what I did, you know, as a mother. Our relationship, I'm always like, how come you don't call enough? Jada calls me, you know, we don't talk every day, you know, so I'm expecting the same thing from him, but he's not her. He's not a girl, you know, his communication is different, you know. We're pretty close, you know, we're pretty close, but our dynamics are different. And I have to keep that in memory that he's not her. She's a bookworm. No, he's a hands-on person. I had to recognize that. You know, I had to recognize as I was raising him, when I chose to raise him away from his father, that I can't raise a man, you know. And I kept saying, oh, well, grandmother's done it for years. Why can't I do it? And why isn't this working out this way? And how come he's not calling me when he's supposed to, when he's late coming in or when he's supposed to? Why am I worrying so much? You know, and then I realized I got to look at him, as an individual, as a man, you know, and get some help from my guy friends, his father, and things like that to step in when I can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I took on
How
so much.
Son?
Huh?
How
I'm
old
sorry?
Is your son?
He's 25. Mm-hmm. He's 25. My daughter's 27. Mm-hmm. And even as we went through an unfortunate issue, his first daughter was killed at the age of 2. Her aunt was pushing her in a stroller and walked her out in front of a car. And having to go through that with him and be strong. And my kids never, even growing up, they never saw me cry because I was told, you know, crying is a sign of weakness. So I had to be strong. I had to be that woman, and I had to have that certain face all the time so that they didn't see me as weak. But I had to flip that and let them know that I am normal. I do hurt. I do cry. We bleed the same blood, you know. And when I showed that, things changed again. They're like, oh, okay, so she's normal. Okay, mm-hmm. This does happen. Mm-hmm. But I'm still learning with my son, still learning. I'm like, why isn't he doing what I tell him to do? I realize that he has to make his own decisions. I can put it out there as much as I want to, but it's totally up to him. You know, and I got to let him be a man, and that's that's a big learning experience, is letting him be a man and make his decision, not do what mommy
says. Well, I have something came up in my spirit to share with you about your son. And you're saying, why is it that he's different? And you know why he's different because you said it. You said that when I was with my daughter, pregnant with my daughter, I was happy. Everything was going good. And then when I was with my son, I was depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a topic that we've covered some time ago, and basically go back and forth on that. And it's one of the things that I talk to when I'm doing counseling. And the first thing I want to know is, what was your mood? Where were you mentally when you were pregnant?
Mm-hmm.
Even down to, you know, even at conception, how was that? Was that a loving experience? Because all of that make up the personality and the mood and attitude of the child, because some children come and they laugh and they play the whole time in the crib. You don't have to go there, and you just hear them just giggling and carrying on. And then some's crying the whole time, and you have to go back to where you were, what was your mental state when you had that child. And with that being said, you knew you were depressed. So all of those thoughts that you had was received by that fetus. It was, he received all of those negatives and that those down moments. I would suggest that you have a conversation with him and kind of go over that, because sometimes in his memory bank, he don't know why he has it, but he has it. He don't know why I can't connect to mama like my sister, but until you have that conversation, until you explain to him where you were at that time, and something will come out. I don't know what it is, but something will come out, and it will be an enlightenment to him because he has this knowledge now that, okay, maybe this is why I am where I am, and then it'll start a new relationship between the two of you. Because it's like what we've been doing all year, the hidden secrets. Sometimes we have hidden secrets and we don't realize the hidden secrets. We don't realize the effect of what happened on the child. Now, I was, does that make sense to you?
Yes, yes. And I never thought about that.
Yeah, go
but
back and tell
do
him.
That. I will definitely
yeah.
do that.
Go back and tell him, you know, when I was pregnant with you, I was going through this, and this. And at that time, I couldn't concentrate. You didn't get the good thoughts or whatever God placed on your heart. He would, you know, just pray and ask God to lead you and guide you with your words, but have that conversation with him. And I can pretty much guarantee you that you're going to have a renewed relationship with your son. You're going to be able to, he's going to have a breakthrough. He's going to tell you, well, Mama, that's the way I feel. I've felt some of those same things. Because what you've done, you plant those seeds inside of him before he even entered the world. So he can only produce the fruit that you plant the seed from.
That
if that makes
I
sense.
Will do. Oh, my goodness, yes. And I don't know why I never thought of it.
Well,
we talk about so many things.
That's
but
why
that
you're
is
here.
Excellent. That is excellent.
That's why
Thank
you're here.
You.
Oh, that's not the best
you.
God is good. God
yes.
is good. And I'm telling you, you do that and you spend that time, you set aside a time that just the two of you are going to sit together. And you just tell them, I need to talk to you. And this is and share your heart. And don't be afraid to cry because you'll get emotional. When you share your heart and you share your heart from the pits of it, emotions will come. Let it come. Let it flow. Just old good old snot cry, as I call it. Let it come
mm-hmm.
out because you got to get rid of it too. And he may cry. And once you get through that, I'm telling you, it's like a new birth. It's a new relationship. And the whole dynamics between you, your son, and your daughter is going to be totally different. He'll be able to relate to women much better because he will not be a good husband, a good friend to a woman because he cannot until he get that relationship right with you. But he doesn't know that because you never told him. He don't know why he's, you know, disconnect, why he can't call you every day. It's not a male or a woman thing. I know males are different. We know that. But what I'm hearing, he needs to hear what you just told us.
Yeah.
And I believe that would make a big difference.
Yes, and also too, it's funny as a not funny, haha, but when raising him again by choice, their father lived in Delaware, so they always saw him and stayed in contact with him. I never made that an issue, you know. And I know some of us as mothers will do that. We'll hold the kids hostage because of the relationship we have with their fathers or things like that. And I'm so thankful that God did not put that in my spirit to do that. But on the flip side, because of the relationships that he saw me go through with, you know, men, he treats women a certain way because he saw me. And I didn't always have the best example. You know, somebody get on my nerves, they're gone. You know, and he knew that. You know, he knew that. So he started doing the same things. I was like, oh, hey, I thought you were dating so-and-so. Oh, Mom, she got on my nerves. She had to go. When I first heard that, it clicked, and I was like, oh, my gosh, what did I do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, what did I do?
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that it was I was the reason because I didn't set a great example of what a good relationship looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But that goes back, in essence,
you probably did the very best that you knew how to do, because we are a trickle-down effect from our parents,
right.
You know? We see things, and none of us are perfect. You know, for all the mothers out there, all the fathers, we have a lot of fathers that listen to the program as well. So we're not anti, God just picked me to focus on mother and daughter relationship. But whenever I enter into that mother and daughter relationship, sometimes it comes out that brother or that husband, and I end up doing total family therapy. Because when you were talking, God just spoke to my heart. And he put the focus on your son, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the suggestions that he gave me to give to you. And that's going to be make a big difference. But and then you also need to explain to him, you know, this is not the way you do it. Because they're still children. He may be 25, but he has not learned those lessons. And then you can go back and help him learn the lessons by sharing where you missed it, because that's what we have to do with our children. That's what I do with my daughter. I share with her all the time where I missed it. I'm telling all the time, please don't get the 30-year divorce. You know, what can we do to keep you from doing that? You know, we don't want, and by not talking to our children, they're going to go through the same, fall in the same pits. We've got to stop it. Stop having those secrets that you think, you know, because the kids think, well, they never made a mistake because they think you're perfect. I used to think my parents was rich. I never knew we had any problems. I'm an only child, and if I ask for something, it just seems to appear. And it wasn't until I was grown that my mother said to me, you know, I used to go and do without, and you know how they would say, wear all kind of underwear, you know, and make you feel guilty. And I did this and I did that. And I'm like, well, you never told me. It seemed like everything was going good. The lights was on. Phone was on. Food was in the house. Everything looked, you know, we had a car. Everything looked good to me. So when I came along with my daughter, I would always tell her about the finances. Well, you know, this we had to do so and so and so. So, you know, we don't have. And I noticed that's what she does with her son. This is the reason why I can't do this, because we had to do this, this, and this. We have to do that. You understand?
Yeah.
We have to let them know we're not perfect. We don't have all the answers. We're all trying to figure this thing out. So now we're going to figure this out together, because, and I'm sure he's dealing with the loss of his 2-year-old child. And I don't know if you had that conversation. God just brought that up in my spirit too as well. That once
we
get past
tried.
That,
I've tried many a time. We've taken road trips. But it's something that he's really like, he's still, and this has been 3 years now, but he's still not ready. He just, I was just able to help him get out of this little spiral that he was in. Well, it was just a circle. He wasn't doing bad, he wasn't doing good, he was just there. He was just existing. And just within the past month and a half, he's just starting to live life again as opposed to letting life live him. And I'm thankful to see that change in him, but it's a process. I mean, and I have to wait, and I can't keep, you know, trying to push him to talk to me about it, you know. And I'll say little things every now and here or there, you know, but I know I have to wait until he's ready.
Well, I think when you have this conversation and go all the way back to the beginning, he's going to feel that you're a safe place. People only share when they feel it's a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yes.
He doesn't feel you're giving him a safe place. He is something disconnected there. But I think when you go back and you actually share with him some of the things, he's going to feel, okay, this feels good. She has shared her heart with me. Now I can share my heart, if that makes sense to you.
Yes, it does. It does. And I can't wait to share that with you guys when
call us back, because we want to hear some stuff. Okay?
I will.
Wow,
I
didn't realize we talked so long. This is good.
Sorry, I can get long-winded. I apologize.
Oh, no. That you are a guest. And, you know, of course, this is the way I tell people. I say we do what God wants us to do. And, you know, I was trying to pull up all of my documents and look for things, and nothing was happening. And I was like, Lord, what in the world? I said, okay, you know. And it wasn't intended for me to do what I thought I was going to do. You understand? So
yes.
This is what God wanted to happen. And when you release yourself to the Holy Spirit and say, you know, I'm going to be led, you've got to truly allow it to happen. And this is what happened. And I thank God for it, because I think this is going to be a major change in your relationship with your son. And it's also going to affect your relationship with your daughter. And when your daughter gets in place, you know, she can call us from Atlanta and we can have her on as well. Okay?
Sure. Definitely.
Thank you for being our guest. And, you know, I'm going to step in on you guys and see what the step is about and see if you all can step as good as I can step.
Oh, okay. I'm definitely with that. I look forward to that. Definitely. And anyone else that's even in the South Florida area, please look us up again, stylisticsteppers.com. If you don't have stepping in your area, we do travel. We do come out. We travel, like I said, to different cities to open up different markets and help people get to stepping, because it is a lifestyle. It is a beautiful, beautiful lifestyle. So, again, just go to stylisticsteppers.com.
Yeah, and I'm saying that, Lord, I'm not that good. I'm just messing with you. But
I'm ready. Come on.
But let me tell you, that's something we'll talk about, because that's something we can do before the gala. Maybe we can have something that day, you know. We'll talk about that and come up with something for mothers and daughters stepping. You know what I mean? It's a good thing.
That would be wonderful.
We'll work on that. Thank you, Maria.
Okay.
It's been
Thank
a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. God bless
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Wow, that was great. Thank you, audience, for being patient with us. God has a way of healing and the process, and we do what he wants us to do. And today we started off with mother and daughter, but God showed us there was a son that needed our attention. That's what we do as mothers. We are nurturers. We go in, we find the issue, we deal with it, we're there to help. Good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you this morning, Dr. Fletcher?
I'm doing great. Wonderful conversation this morning. And you are a mother of sons.
Well, speaking of mothers and sons, the oldest, Keith, he just asked me last night when you're going to let him be a guest on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him I would talk to you about it, and then we'll let him know. But anyway, definitely an interesting conversation, and it is things that we don't think about when we are pregnant and when we are raising children. We don't think about how our emotions play on the children. I have two sons. They are very different. And personality, my first son, it was a beautiful pregnancy. I was joyous. My second one, I cried. I hated being pregnant. I'm telling you, it was horrible. It was horrible for me, and it was horrible for him. And as a result, he cried his entire first year. He was a baby that was nonstop crying. Keith was talking before he was a year old, forming full sentences. He was the happiest baby. And I'm like, if I can have babies like this, I don't mind having babies. But my second one, my stars, I did some damage, and it wasn't intentionally. It was just the state of mind that I was in when I was carrying that child. I was miserable, and I made him miserable. And I really had to apologize to him. Because it got to a point, Dr. Fletcher, that I did not want to go anywhere with the child, because only mommy would do, and he didn't want anyone else to touch him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was hard for me, and it was even harder for him. He don't know it, because he didn't know why he was wailing all the time. But
mm-hmm.
that's that negative seed that I planted in him. And we
mm-hmm.
do send messages, even as they're growing, we send messages to our children. And it, again, it's not intentionally, but it's all in the state of mind that the mother is in, you know. And
yeah,
it's unfortunate, but when you recognize it and you can do something about it, you share that. And when you share and you apologize, it really does open up a whole new a whole new relationship with that a child, whether it's an adult child or a child, because children understand way more than we give them credit for.
Mm-hmm.
If we just
mm-hmm.
get in the habit of talking to our children, when you see some things and you recognize that, you know, oh my God, I have took part in why this child is the way that there is, because no one wants to really take responsibility for maybe damaging our children. But when you recognize it, mothers, I truly understand and know how it changes the relationship when you just be honest and just apologize.
Okay. Well, you know, thank you for that, Cynthia. That is one of the key things that, you know, someone is asking me basically now, why don't we get you to come in and start working with pregnant, with teens, and especially the young ladies that are pregnant, you know, because they are actually fighting that battle. You know, maybe they got pregnant, the little young man don't want to be a part of that, and they're battling all of these emotions and thinking that they're being talked about, they're hated, and all of that makes up the child. And you know, when a child has colic, they crying and coughing, all of those are the seeds that we plant, and it is an education for change. With the next generation. And it's something that we're considering. I'm talking to someone now about doing that kind of counseling, because you have to go back to the beginning in order to help to make the change more effective. So thank you very much for sharing that today. I'm sure Maria is taking this in, too, because you, too, have sons and you've experienced that. I didn't know yet you had, but you know, you were next, and here you go with the same story. So maybe the two of you can have a conversation, too, as well, and we'll all maybe get together and see where we can go from there. Thank you, and you have
Sounds
a blessed
good. Day. You as well. Sounds real.
Thank you. Good morning. Our next co-host we have is Sandra D. Sandra, how are you?
Hi. Oh, fine. Good morning. How are you?
I am doing great.
Good. Interesting topic, actually. I just kind of want to, I guess, speak on what Maria was saying and actually what Cynthia was saying, because you actually spoke about this, like you said, a couple of weeks ago about, you know, the babies being in the womb and they feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think I mentioned to you, not on air, but kind of the same thing with my son, because I have a son. I don't have a daughter. I have one son. And I was surprised and shocked that I was even pregnant, that I had to get two tests done from a doctor. Because my husband at the time was considered having a very low sperm count. So that was one of the reasons that I was shocked, because we didn't think we were able to have, you know, a baby. And so, you know, and my son, he did cry a lot when he was born, but I think he was kind of sensitive like me. He didn't like noise. If we had company, he would cry. So I would have to sing to make him go to sleep. I would make up songs, you know, just to keep him quiet and relaxed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, the birth was good. Pregnancy was good. Everything was real good. But it's just so funny how we happen to come back to this topic based on what Maria was talking about.
Right, right. And it's never too late. It's never too late. You know, it's never too late to come to Jesus and get salvation. And it's never too late to go to our children, our mothers, our daughters, you know, and say, and our sons, and say, you know what? I just discovered, you know, this is what happened. I want to share this with you. Let me apologize to you. And they will know that you mean it. You know what I'm saying? And it makes all the difference in the world. I mean, forgiveness and being able to release things that is in your head, it elevates you to the next level. And therefore, you know, God, you know, okay, you did that. You did that well. All right, now we're going to go to the next level, and I'm going to teach you something else. Because we're always in a learning curve. You're never going to get it right until you get home to Jesus. But in the meantime, keep calling to Jesus. Okay, how do I do this? What did I do? Where did I go wrong? And this morning, he gave that message. So I can see it. I can feel it. I can't wait for the results. Thank you for sharing, Sandra, and you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
What I would like to say this morning, you know, in my years of doing mothers and daughters, there's one story, and I don't know if some of you may have heard me tell this story, but, you know, I tell it whenever I feel, when it comes up in my spirit and it's appropriate for the time. And this morning I'd like to share the story with you guys for the last few minutes. You know, there's a number of things that I hear as I do mother and daughter workshops and counseling and speaking engagements. It's a thing where, you know, a mother will feel like, oh my God, I don't want to tell nobody this, but, you know, this is what happened. I'm ashamed now. And I'm like, why be ashamed? You just didn't know any better. Because if we knew better, we'd do better. You know, we are a product of the mother in front of us or the like of the mother in front of us. You know, so we all have a learning curve, and it was at this time. It's all about the timing piece. And the timing piece is this time now that Maria had an awareness. And now she knows better. Now if she doesn't do anything about it, then, you know, that's her and her God. But God has given her some information. He's given her feedback. And this has all been about sons today. If you ladies notice this, God has spoken to sons today. But I want to go back to this one story. The story was I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I was doing a workshop, and this young lady came in. She's 12 years old, and, you know, I'm used to the teenagers coming in angry on Saturday morning. You know, they don't want to be there, and they show it on their face, their body, everything. It's like, ooh, I don't want to be here. Why am I here? So she came in and she went and she sat down. And me, you know, whenever I'm having a workshop, I'm always greeting people. I don't want to get, you know, and usually I've spoken to everybody before they came, and then I'll say, who are you? And they tell me, and we talk. Oh, yeah, we talked last week. So it's sort of like one big connection, and everybody, and I'm familiar with everybody prior to coming in. And so when the young lady, she said, remember I called you? And we talked, and she gave me some information. I said, oh, yeah. She said, well, that's my daughter. The young lady went and sat down. And finally, she came and she sat down. But to make the story short, because of the timing, it all ended up when she said she did not want to have a girl. And she had three tests, did not want to have a girl. And the whole audience, the mothers in there, was just grasping, you know, for breath. And it's like, what? She said, when the doctor came in, laid the baby on my belly, I looked at the baby looked at me, and I knew it was going to be war. Because the whole 9 months, she said, I do not want to have a girl. I do not want to have a girl. And the daughter said, I knew you tried to make me think that I was crazy. You knew you didn't like me. And she looked at her daughter. She said, no, I didn't like you. I never liked you. Now, you're talking about trying to digest that. Mothers in there almost fell out of their chair. So, basically, that young lady was between the rock and the hard place. A father was married to a woman that didn't want her to be in their household, and the mother didn't like her in her household. She was in the middle, two brothers in the middle. Two brothers had access to do whatever they wanted to do. But with her, she was very limited. And I'm happy to say to this day, it took a near-death experience with the mother in order for the mother and the daughter to get back together. So that in itself shows you whatever you say when you're carrying that child is the results you're going to get when that child is born. Have a blessed day. God bless you. It was a great conversation. I'll see you next Saturday at 10 o'clock here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Bye-bye.